Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
For years, I would wake up with brain fog and feeling like I didn't sleep enough, even though I did, and just not quite feeling right. And I realized after doing some food rotation kind of things that I was sensitive to a lot of different grains. It's not particularly gluten or this and that, but just grains in general, even whole grains. So when I went paleo a couple years ago, I wake up every morning with a spring in my step and glowing skin. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I feel pretty darn good. And it is pretty awesome. So I'm so excited. And so it's Andrea to have Tony Federico on the show. He's a writer for Paleo Magazine. He does the Paleo Magazine radio podcast. Hey, Tony, so glad you're here.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
So, Tony, what I'd like to do is start off with really having you define what the paleo diet is. So for those who are listening who may have heard of it, you know, tell us what it is and how it originated.
Sure. So the paleo diet in its current form really comes about as a result of several really pioneers in the field, people such as S. Boyd Eaton and Lauren Cordain, and then later Rob Wolf, people who popularized the current version of the paleo diet. And when you boil it down, what paleo is fruits, vegetables, nuts and seeds, meats, eggs, and that's pretty much it. So you're really going back to the basics nutritionally. You're going back to the types of foods that our ancestors ate for thousands, if not millions of years.
And the people are seeing a huge difference. I know my niece just started it not too long ago, and she's tried different diets, and I know she is raving about the paleo diet. She has thyroid issues. She's lost 14 pounds in very little time. So I would guess, like anything, you know, certain diets are great for different people. What in particular would the, for who in particular would the paleo diet be really, really good for?
Well, the really unique thing about paleo is that it's not a specific macronutrient recommendation. So, for example, paleo isn't necessarily low carb. Paleo isn't high carb. Paleo isn't high fat necessarily. There's any type of nutritional requirements you have. So, whether you're an athlete, whether you're a soccer mom, whether you're somebody trying to lose weight, whether you're trying to heal from a disease, there's a way to adjust the paleo template to fit your specific needs. But what all paleo has in common is the elimination of processed, refined junk foods. It's getting the artificial colors and flavors out. It's getting the artificial chemical ingredients out. It's getting the fast food out of your diet. So it's returning to the whole natural foods that our bodies evolved to eat and to process and to thrive off of.
Yeah, you know, there are so many benefits to it. And we're going to talk about five. The first one is it works. Describe that for us.
Well, obviously, like you mentioned with the example of your relative, it gets results. And I think when you eat in alignment with biological principles, when you eat in alignment with the way that your body has evolved for thousands, if not millions of years, you get results, whether that's weight loss, whether that's healing from a disease, whether that's improved athletic performance. So by finding the right version of paleo for your specific needs, you can get really amazing results. And that's why we see so many raving testimonials and so many success stories within the paleo community.
You know, what's interesting to me is, you know, we've been doing this show for a long time and we've interviewed a lot of people who have very different ways of eating. And I always think, you know, what would you say to the vegan? So if you were in a room with a vegan and you had to have a conversation and battle back and forth, what would you say to them to kind of, you know, to describe, obviously they're, you know, they don't eat meat and, you know, and interesting enough, I was just at Expo West last week and there are a lot of vegan paleo products that have now come on the market. So I guess, you know, what would you say to people who are vegan? And obviously now if you are vegan, you can do the paleo diet too. So, which I'm guessing you're going to say, or which is how you were going to answer it anyways, but I'd love to hear your opinion.
Well, you know, what I would say to that is the paleo and vegan approaches are much more similar than they are different. And while meat is obviously a big sticking point for a lot of vegans, the reason most vegans choose to exclude meat from their diets is because of environmental concerns. It's because of animal welfare concerns. And what people who are following the paleo diet are doing, they're eating meat that's responsibly and humanely raised. They're eating meat that's sustainable in terms of the environment at large, that has a minimal impact in our world. So a lot of the values between people who follow the vegan diet as well as people who follow the paleo diet are the same. So it's really easy to have a conversation with somebody about diet, if they are already vegan, they already care about food. They're already passionate about food. They care about where it comes from. They're thinking deeply about these issues. So there's much more common ground once you get past the meat question. So if somebody wants to do a vegan version of paleo, if they want to do a vegetarian version of paleo, I think that that's perfectly acceptable and certainly something that can be healthful and nutritious and effective.
Now, Tony, what about the whole grain situation? Because the vegans that I know tend to eat a lot of whole grains, are really into quinoa and brown rice and buckwheat or amaranth. And so that's definitely not part of the paleo diet, and also the legumes.
You know, those fall. So what you just listed are some gluten-free grains, some more ancient grains, things like legumes, like a, I guess you could say, a like a lentil, for example. While those are excluded on the paleo diet, gluten-free grains, when properly prepared, legumes, when properly prepared, and we're talking about, you know, I don't know if you guys get into the Weston A. Price Foundation material much, but, you know, if you're soaking and sprouting and, and you know, cooking and everything properly, you really get to neutralize a lot of the anti-nutrients in those foods. Now, in the paleo community, we say, hey, rather than going through three, four different steps to make this food safe to eat and nutritious, why don't you just get those nutrients from other foods? So it isn't so much that eating those things is like a deal breaker when it comes to eating a mostly paleo diet. So for example, if you want to eat, you know, tons of green leafy vegetables, tons of fruits, good healthy fats, and then you also eat some lentils or you also eat some brown rice, I mean, maybe that's your 10, 15, 20% not paleo proportion. But if you're doing that, you're still miles ahead of the average person. So I'd rather somebody do that if that's what's going to help them really get off the processed foods, then say, hey, I can't do paleo. It's too hard. I want to continue eating brown rice. I say paleo, eat brown rice, just don't eat the junk food.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a great idea. I love that. Yeah. See, I love lentils. So I have lentils once a week. And I have to say, I miss quinoa. So now I'm feeling a little better. Maybe I can indulge every now and then. You know, some of the other things.
You don't have to break up with paleo to have quinoa.
Oh, yay. Well, you know, some of the other things, Tony, you have, it's easy, it's fun, it's a lifestyle, some of the other top five. And it really is easy. And I think that's where people get confused. I mean, my favorite meal is a yam, some grass-fed skirt steak, some avocado, and a big salad. And I am like the
Perfect.
Happiest camper.
Absolutely. You can't beat that.
Yeah, it's really good.
And Tony, I mean, obviously eggs are allowed. Are there a certain amount of eggs people should be eating every day? We have about a minute and a half left, and I know we have lots of questions, but, you know, are eggs allowed, and how many eggs a day could people eat?
Eggs are certainly allowed. The science that's coming out, although it can be conflicting sometimes when you really dig deep into it, shows that egg consumption, I'd say 1 to 2 eggs, you know, every other day, something along those lines. There's no evidence to suggest that that's bad for us. I think it's great whenever we're talking about how much of a food you should eat to consider the evolutionary template and to think, would a caveman, for lack of a better word, eat 12 eggs a day? Chances are pretty slim that they would have been able to find that quantity of eggs on a daily basis. So it's not likely that our ancestors would have eaten tremendous quantities of eggs every day, but it is likely that they would have, when they came across them from time to time, eaten a nest of birds' eggs or, you know, some smaller amount. So if you eat 2 or 3 eggs for breakfast 2 or 3 times a week, I don't think anybody should worry about that. And there's more evidence coming out every day about the diminished threat from dietary cholesterol when it comes to cholesterol in general.
Hey, Tony, we only have a minute. I just want to ask, dairy, yes or no? I'm assuming it's grass-fed. It's okay sometimes?
Grass-fed, ideally from maybe sheep or goat's milk. That gets you away from some of the problems associated with different versions of casein in some of the newer breeds of cows, specifically the Holsteins. It's a gray area. Your mileage may vary. So I think that that's an example of try it. If it bothers you, if your health is impacted, if your gut health is impacted, if you don't feel as vital and energetic and you're having symptoms, then cut it out. If you feel great on dairy, if you thrive on dairy, there's no reason to exclude it.
Love it. Well, thank you, Tony, for really answering a lot of my questions. I know Lisa's been a fan for a long time. If you want to learn more about Tony and what he does, you can go to livecaveman.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at TonyFedFitness. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.